two kinds of people camped out in the New York Public Library so late at night. There were the scholars, caffeine-addled college students, obsessively meticulous PhD candidates, ambitious academics angling for tenure. And then there were the people who had nowhere else to go, people who sought solace in the comforting musk of old books and the quiet sounds of other humans breathing, turning pages, and stretching in their creaky wooden chairs. People who wanted to know that they weren't alone while being left alone. People like Echo. She moved through the library like a ghost, feet quieter than a whisper over its marble steps. It was late enough that no one bothered to raise their eyes from their books to take notice of a young woman dressed in head-to-toe black, slinking around where she had no business. Echo had long ago established a route that led around staff members counting the minutes until they got off work. She didn't need to worry about security cameras. America's librarians fought valiantly to keep their readers' privacy protected, and the library was a camera-free zone. It was one of the reasons why she'd chosen to make it her home. She slipped through the library's narrow stacks, breathing in the familiar smell of stale books. As she climbed the darkened stairwell leading to her room, the air thickened with magic. The wards that the Alla had helped Echo set up pushed back at her, but the resistance was weak. They were designed to recognize her. Had anyone else stumbled upon the staircase, they would have turned back, remembering that they'd left the stove on or were running late for a meeting. But the spell rebounded off her. At the top of the stairs was a door, as beige and plain as any other utility closet, but it too had magic all its own. Echo slipped her Swiss Army knife from her back pocket and flicked it open. She pressed the tip of the small knife into the pad of her pinky and watched a bead of blood well up. "By my blood," Echo whispered. She touched the drop of scarlet to the door, and the air crackled with electricity, raising the fine hairs at the back of her neck. A quiet click sounded, and the door unlocked. Just as she did every time she entered the cramped room, overflowing with treasures she'd liberated over the years, she kicked the door shut behind her and said, to no one in particular, "Honey, I'm home." The silence that answered was a welcome change from the shrill symphony of Taipei and the cacophonous crowds of New York at rush hour. Echo slung her bag onto the floor beside the writing desk she'd salvaged from the library's recycling pile and collapsed on her chair. She flicked on the fairy lights strung around the room, casting the cozy space in a warm glow. Before her lay the burrito she'd been dreaming about, surrounded by the odds and ends that decorated every available surface of her room. There were tiny jade elephants from Phuket, geodes from amethyst mines in South Korea, an original Fabergé egg encrusted with rubies and trimmed with gold. Surrounding it all were stacks of books, crammed on every available surface, piled on top of each other in teetering towers. Some Echo had read a dozen times, others not at all. Their mere presence was a comfort. She hoarded them just as eagerly as she hoarded her other treasures. Her 7-year-old self had decided that stealing books was morally bankrupt, but since the books hadn't left the library, they'd merely been relocated, it wasn't technically stealing. Echo looked around at her sea of tomes, and a single word came to mind. Sundoku. It was the Japanese word for letting books pile up without reading them all. Words were another thing Echo hoarded. She'd started that collection long before she'd ever come to the library, back when she lived in a house she preferred not to remember, with a family she'd have been happier forgetting. Back then, the only books she'd had belonged to a set of outdated encyclopedias. She'd had few possessions to call her own, but she'd always had her words. And now she had a trove full of stolen treasures, some more edible than others. She raised the burrito to her lips, poised to take a bite, when the sound of fluttering feathers interrupted her. Only one person had the ability to bypass her wards without raising a single alarm, and she never bothered to knock. Echo sighed. Rude. "You know, I've heard that in some cultures," Echo began, "people knock. But then that could just be idle gossip." She swiveled in her chair, burrito in hand. The Ala sat on the corner of Echo's bed, black feathers ruffling gently as if caught on a breeze. But there was no breeze. There was only the Ala and the slight charge to the air that accompanied her power. "Don't be moody," the Ala said, smoothing her arm feathers. "It makes you sound positively adolescent."